You're listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
I'm Jared Wadley. Interest in international adoptions has grown tremendously within the last two decades, especially in countries such as China, Russia, and Korea. But as University of Michigan expert Leslie Hollingsworth notes, this type of adoption has received greater attention recently due to the highly publicized celebrity adoptions.
International adoptions provide an opportunity for parents to adopt a young child. Usually, people who adopt are wanting to parent their own child, and they're wanting to parent a young child to sort of raise a young child kind of from the start. And so they're more likely to be looking for younger children. The most recent statistics on international adoption from, I think, fiscal year 2005 show that about 40% of children who were internationally adopted by U.S. parents were under 1 year of age. 40% compares to 2% of children under 1 year that were adopted from the public system domestically for adoption. So you can see the difference. And the other two factors, another one is the opportunity for confidential adoptions. There's less chance, as you can imagine, that a parent from another country, especially a developing country, will change their mind or sort of emerge, you know, when they hadn't been known about before. So there's less chance of a parent, you know, kind of interfering with the adoption once it started. And then the third thing, I think, is the possibility of racially matched adoptions. For quite some time, persons in the U.S. have been more open to adopting children who were not of the same culture. But people still tend to want children who look like them and who are more similar to themselves. And actually, research has shown that children tend to be more satisfied with those adoptions, and parents tend to be more satisfied when the more similarity there is in the adoption.
Celebrity international adoptions have helped individuals and couples to consider other options than domestic adoptions.
I think the impact has just been primarily curiosity and maybe a reopening of some of the controversy there around adoption and specifically around transcultural adoption. And so I think when those celebrity adoptions have come up, it kind of reopens that controversy and people sort of take sides on either end of the continuum. I don't think it probably encourages people to adopt who have not already considered adoption. For persons who are already considering adoption, they might be more likely to think about an international adoption when they hadn't before, and particularly recently with the focus on the adoption of the child from Africa, people might be more likely who were considering adoption to consider adopting a child from Africa when they wouldn't have maybe thought about that before.
Parents could face several challenges with international adoptions, such as higher adoption-related expenses or the longer waiting period, which averages 14 months.
Sometimes in the process of going through that wait and going through the procedures that are required, countries will change their procedures or change their laws. And so sometimes parents get caught up in that. That happened recently with Cambodia a couple of years ago, where the laws were suddenly changed. And some parents were even in Cambodia to pick up their children that they were adopting. And that was stopped. The cost can range anywhere from $10,000 as a minimum to sometimes up to $30,000, sometimes more.
Hollingsworth says parents should instill in their child an understanding and pride in their cultural identity. This will prepare the child for questions and stereotypes they may encounter.
I think it's very important. In fact, there was just some research that came out recently that indicated that children do better in school when they feel good about their ethnic identity and they have a sense of ethnic identity. And so that's true for children who are adopted internationally. So I think it is important for parents. In fact, there's other research that has shown that when parents are culturally competent, when they're able to really instill a sense of ethnic identity in their children they've adopted, that the children seem to adjust better to the adoption. Many people recognize, as I've said, that culture is important, and there are an increasing number of children who are adopted from Eastern Europe who tend to be physically like the adoptive parents in that they're white in terms of race. And so it's easy for those parents to forget about the fact that these children are still from another culture and that culture has to be identified and respected just in terms of the children's well-being.
Adopted children are likely to have more behavioral problems than non-adopted kids. For international adoptees, these problems usually occur in early and middle childhood rather than adolescence.
There are indications that children who are internationally adopted do have behavior problems. All of them don't. But it's really hard to separate what's the effect of the international adoption or the change in culture from a lot of other factors that are involved. For instance, many times children have come from orphanages where they may not have received the nurturing and individual care that we would expect that they would get otherwise. And that has been shown. Children who have experienced adversity prior to their international adoption are more likely to have behavior problems than those that didn't have that kind of adversity. So it's really hard to separate that out.
Hollingsworth says the screening process and post-adoption follow-up have improved within recent years to ensure safe environments for children.
Internationally, that's improving. There is an agreement that was passed called the Hague Agreement on Inter-Country Adoption, and there have been a lot of changes that are continuing to come about as a result of that agreement. But one of them is the requirement that before a child is adopted internationally, that there has to be someone, for instance, in this country, who begins that process and who does a very extensive home study. There's a requirement for 10 hours of training and preparation for the child. So there's some screening up front. And that didn't always happen because it was really up to the country, and some countries had very clear screening processes and some didn't. It used to be that once the child was placed, once the parents took the child from the country back to the U.S. in this case, there really wasn't any follow-up. Now the requirement is that whatever follow-up is a part of the state or required by the state also applies to international adoptions. In Michigan, there's a requirement for six months post-adoption follow-up after the child is placed and before the adoption is finalized. That can be waived, but it's really up to the facilitators of the adoption to ensure that happens. There are also post-adoption reports that are required. More and more the emphasis is on the safety of the children and also protecting the rights of the parents. And that, particularly with international adoption, that hasn't always happened for a number of reasons. And so a lot of the legislation that's coming about is really aimed at that. That's true for domestic adoptions. One of the reasons for some of the difficulties associated with domestic adoptions is that the laws have increasingly focused on protecting not only the children who are adopted, but birth parents as well as adoptive parents. And sometimes that's perceived by some people as kind of getting in the way of the process.
Hollingsworth is an associate professor in the University of Michigan's School of Social Work.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.